website.
I always thought a website would cost a lot of money. Then I discovered Wix.com.
Wix.com was the perfect solution.
It's so easy. You choose a beautiful design, write what you want to say, and move your images where you want them. No coding, no confusion.
And the best part is that Wix.com is absolutely free.
No matter what size your business, people don't take you seriously unless you have a professional-looking website. Create your own stunning website for free at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
Politics, lies, and regrets collide in Other Desert Cities. A sharp and fiercely funny Pulitzer Prize finalist play presented by the Repertory Theater at the Loretto Hilton Center for the Performing Arts, February 12th through March 9th. You can win a pair of tickets to see the show on Valentine's Day, plus a $100 dinner gift certificate to Jimmy's on the Park in the DeMunn neighborhood. How? Register at KTRS.com or text the Rep to 84126. And it could be you and a friend on the perfect Valentine's date, including dinner and the theater, from the Big 550 KTRS.
Cars.com has all the tools you need for stress-free shopping so you can get the right car without all the drama. Cars.com. All drive, no drama.
Step to B Square.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion brought to you by ORIC. Seven locally owned and operated ORIC home centers throughout the St. Louis area. You can also see what they have to offer online at their website, O-R-E-C-K. That's ORIC.com. I'm Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. And joining us now to talk movies and showbiz on the phone, Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Yes.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I need to make sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you just fine.
All right, good. Well, because, Ian, you remember there are times that Frank has some issues with the clarity of my voice via the phone. I wanted to make sure I'm broadcasting okay.
You're fine.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So how's everybody doing? You good?
Yeah, we're good.
What? I can't hear you.
I actually have to start with some bad news here. I just read this. Leonard Nimoy is really sick.
Mm. Oh, yeah, he's got that pulmonary, it's a bad lung thing, right?
Yeah, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which they say is an umbrella term for lung diseases like emphysema, chronic bronchitis, asthma, and other things. He tweeted, Leonard Nimoy tweeted, "I quit smoking 30 years ago, not soon enough. Now I have COPD. Grandpa says, quit now, smokers. Please understand, if you quit after you're diagnosed with lung damage, it's too late. Grandpa says, learn my lesson and quit now.
And live long and prosper."
Well,
how old is he?
And refer to yourself in the third person as Grandpa.
Yeah. How old is he now?
I don't know. He's got to be close to 80.
Oh, I think he's beyond 80. I mean, look, Shatner is in his 80s, right? And I mean, Shatner's in his 80s. Leonard Nimoy always looked like he was always 30 years older than Shatner.
82. And wow. Shatner's around the same age, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think Shatner's about 81.
82.
All right.
They're the same age?
Same age.
Yeah.
Okay, then Shatner's got to be getting some weird face injections. Either that or he's doing that fat thing where the fatter you get, the more it smooths out the wrinkles.
He's doing something.
Shatner, I'm a big fan of William Shatner. And, you know, back in the day, Paul, there used to be this show called Hip Nights, and I've actually interviewed William Shatner twice and Leonard Nimoy once, and, you know, I consider them close friends. Mm-hmm. But Shatner, I dig the guy, really do, but damn, he looks good for 82.
He does.
Oh, Joe.
Yeah, well, he probably looks better than Nimoy, because Nimoy had that 30 years of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good thing. What's going on in movies this week?
We've got that really stupid Vampire Academy movie, which, I mean, here comes the pun. Absolutely sucks. But outside of that, there is one film that I'm predicting now will be the highest grossing film of 2014.
Oh, is this the new George Clooney movie, Monuments Men?
No, not even close.
Oh.
The Lego movie.
Oh.
Oh.
What?
I saw parts of this, and they're saying that everyone loves this Lego
Rotten
movie.
Rotten Tomatoes has 97% on the Lego movie.
It's almost unprecedented, the amount of positive reviews that are out for this film. I looked, I could not find one negative review for the film. I got to see a little bit of an electronic press kit for it. It is, from what I've been able to gather, and I will know for sure in the next 24 hours after my sons and I have checked it out and then probably had to go to the Lego store in the West County Mall, that it is going to be the movie of 2014. I'm calling it now. It'll be the highest grossing film of this entire year.
Wow, that's amazing. Is it live action or is it animated?
It is a brilliant combination of stop motion effects and CGI, where everything in this movie has to be a Lego piece. Now, they've done a lot of really craptastic straight-to-DVD Lego movies. They've done Lego Star Wars movies, but they've all been straight-to-DVD. They've never done a theatrical release. And the problem, and I'm going to sound like a real nerd here, but the problem with these Lego movies they've done for TV and straight-to-DVD is that, yeah, they're using CGI technology to make these Lego people run around, but they're running around in real practical environments. In this film, there is nothing that you will see that is not made of an actual Lego piece. Even the water is blue Lego pieces. When they're going to fire a gun at somebody, there's no laser beam that they add to it. They use the actual piece that a kid would put on the end of a Lego gun to indicate that there's a laser being shot. Everything is, it's nothing more than the most, I mean, people say keeping it real. They have kept it absolutely real, and it's, yes, it is a giant commercial. Let's be honest. The Lego movie is going to be nothing more than a two-hour commercial, and the Lego stock is going to go through the roof. Parents are going to be buying more Legos than they know what to do with, but every person I know my entire life has had a Lego experience, and yeah. I think that's what's brilliant about this movie is they're not trying to just cash in and do a really quick computer-generated image-type movie. They're really using practical effects. Yes, there's some CGI there, but it's blended the same way Spielberg did the blending with that first Jurassic Park, where you really have to be meticulous if you want to call out what's a CGI effect, what's a practical effect. I'm calling it, man. The Lego movie will probably be the biggest. It'll be the biggest movie of the year, and it might go down in history as the best reviewed film of all time.
Wow. Well, I actually don't think I'm going to see it because my daughter is a little bit too old, and I'm not going to go see what I, you know, normally I would call a kids movie, but now you're making it seem like almost on a Toy Story level.
Well, they're saying that everybody's going to like it, even older, even adults and everything, because we've played with Legos and stuff. And
well, yeah, and you know, the screening that they had for this, I couldn't attend. Another personal plug: I was doing the Purina Animal Advice Show, which is on from 9 till 10 on the Big 550, and the screening was at 10 a.m. on a Saturday, so I couldn't make it. But a friend of mine who saw it told me this was more an adult movie than a kid movie. Yeah, it's a family film, but there's no adult he could think of that would not absolutely love this entire movie.
See, now, if they were really going to do an adult appeal Lego movie, and I don't mean porn, but something that appealed to adults to go see it, there would be a scene in the movie where an adult is walking through a room barefoot and,
that Lego
piece out there! Every father or mother who's ever had kids who had Legos has lived that experience.
Well, one cool thing about what they're doing with the movie is they're using everything that's in this film came from an actual Lego set that has been out there and sold. And, you know, there's not a single element where they're like, hey, it's the Lego movie. We know you like Legos, but here's us introducing brand new Lego sets. Everything is old school. And in order to tie in, obviously, some marketing, they have taken Lego sets that people have built and then realized, hey, with all these pieces, I could actually take this truck and I could have made it into a robot, or I could have taken this piece of farm equipment and made it into a sports car. So they're now marketing a lot of their old Lego sets in ways where they're giving you instructions made by real people, not even Lego employees, people that submitted how you could take one Lego set and actually build something completely different, and that's featured in the movie as well.
All right. Well, you haven't seen it yet, so we can't get your official review, but we've got you down with your prediction. Highest grossing movie of 2014, the Lego movie.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, the movie that will not even come close to being the highest grossing movie of 2014 is The Monuments Men, a movie that I went into really, really excited. Yes, obviously I'm thinking, hey, it's a heist movie. And George Clooney's in it, and Matt Damon's in it. How cool is this? It's a World War II movie, and Clooney directed it. Man, this could kind of be like, you know, an old throwback to the war movies from the 1960s, you know, in the 1970s. And it could have a real throwback feel because Clooney could pull that off. And it could be like an Ocean's movie because he's Danny Ocean, and he's got Matt Damon in it. I had huge expectations. Bill Murray is in the movie, and I know it's going to be a serious role, but even in a serious role, Bill Murray can kind of wink to the audience a bit or do a little bit of a deadpan delivery. I went in wanting to really like this movie. I ignored the fact that it was being released in February. I just pretended this month didn't exist and pretended that the curse of February wasn't going to play into it because this was supposed to come out on Christmas Day. It was even originally marketed to be a Christmas movie released on Christmas Day, but Clooney pulled out and said he had to finish some of the visual effects. He didn't want to rush his production just to try and get a couple of awards.
Isn't John
translation, well, the translation is, I'm going to pull out because I don't have a shot in hell getting a single award nomination with this film.
John Goodman's in this too, isn't he?
Yes.
John Goodman is in this movie. There's a guy from the BBC show Downton Abbey who will pop up.
Hugh Bonneville.
Yes. And I will say right now, his story arc is probably the one saving grace of the film, the one part that I really liked. You go into this thinking it could be fun, or maybe it could be fun with a little bit of danger, or it could be like a dangerous war movie where they kind of have fun. If you go online and type in Monuments Men and do an image search, you're going to find a picture from the actual movie of all the guys, all the Monuments Men, walking out of what looks kind of like a cave. They got their army gear on, and they're all kind of laughing and smiling. It almost looks like they're trying to replicate one of the promo images from the remake of Ocean's 11. Spoiler alert! Pay attention to the actors featured in that photograph I just said, and you'll know who dies and who lives. Now, one aspect of the film that I just had a huge problem with was Bill Murray, because having a guy like Bill Murray in a movie where he's going to be an army guy and has to go through basic training, basically has to go to boot camp, I'm thinking Stripes.
Yeah.
I went in with expectations that were unrealistic. And so outside of, look, I know it's a different movie. It's not Stripes Part 2. It's not a Stripes remake. I get all that. I really do. So just go in knowing George Clooney directed a war movie based on a true story of these scholars and these architects and these art history buffs that need to try and save all these classical pieces of art from areas that the Nazis are probably going to bomb. And not only that, Hitler is a complete art nut, and he was stockpiling tons of classic works of art so he could destroy the ones he didn't like and keep the ones that he wanted to keep in his Führer Museum, which he really did have planned to do. All of this is true. Going into it like that, you might think, okay, this could be kind of decent because Clooney is a decent director. I happen to love him as an actor. Nothing happens in this movie. It's based on a true story. Obviously, if you've gone to an art museum and you know what art exists, you know that these guys pulled off their mission. You know that they were able to save a whole lot of art. You know the Nazis didn't win World War II. So I'm not spoiling anything, but nothing happens. They tease you countless times that there's danger coming. Oh, the Russians are coming. The Nazis just ran away, but the Russians are coming. They're going to try and steal some art. Oh, quick, guys, let's get out of the cave. Oh, this is nail biting. Hey, we made it out of the cave, and the Russians aren't here yet. Ah, let's go home. Honestly, that is the big climax of the film. Nothing really goes down. It would be saved if only the guys in the movie, the actors, these good character actors, had a couple of decent moments kind of busting each other's chops, you know, having a couple of wartime stories that they can share later in life. But none of this goes down. It's a very weak film. I really wanted to like it. I probably should not have gone in with great expectations. This is a 3 out of 10.
Wow. I will tell you, Ian just made the I'm sad face because he told me before that he and Angela are going to go see it tonight, and my wife and I were planning on going to see it this weekend.
Well, I would love to know the next time we reconvene what you guys think of it, and please keep in mind, I did go in thinking, oh, Bill Murray's going to be funny. John Goodman will probably just be John Goodman, but Clooney, it'll have an Ocean's vibe. It'll have a World War II vibe. The problem is they show up. Omaha Beach, at the beginning of Private Ryan. Everybody knows that scene, right?
Yeah.
Well, when these guys show up to try and get the art before the Nazis can run away with it, they show up in the same fashion that you remember in Saving Private Ryan, only the war's over. I mean, it's still happening. It's 1944, but everywhere they go, they're showing up after all the battle went down. They're kind of reminding you of scenes in other war movies, and it kind of pulls you out of it because you keep comparing it to what's come before. Whether you compare it to an Ocean's movie, or a potential comedy with Bill Murray, or just in general, a decent war flick that could involve a bit of a heist, it just keeps pulling you out, and in the end, it's extremely, extremely disappointing.
Mm.
And, Paul, to answer the question in case you were going to ask, I think one person clapped at the end of the screening.
Wow.
And that could just be because it was over.
3 out of 10 for Monuments Men. All right, before I let you go, we've got to talk a little bit about the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. I know he died on Sunday, but this is the first chance I have at all to talk to you about him. People have called him the greatest actor of his generation. I don't know about that. I hate to hear those kind of comparisons, but he was one of the greats, wasn't he?
Oh, no, he was really good because he did it right to where if you're watching Scent of a Woman, you absolutely despise him and you hate him. And he's been in movies where I have feared him. He's been in, not feared him, but another one where we just don't like the guy. Remember, he was in Red Dragon and he's just this sleazy guy and he could do it so well, but then you could flip the coin and he could be really, really just endearing. You look at him in Magnolia and you really, really feel for his character. I thought he was a great character actor. He was a great chameleon. No role of his is a Philip Seymour Hoffman role. And what I mean by that is, I just referenced George Clooney. You see Clooney in a movie, if it's not Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, it's George Clooney and he's being George Clooney. Philip Seymour Hoffman became every role he played. And for that, I thought he was a tremendous actor. I don't know what generation I'd put him in because he's 46 years old. There's a lot of actors in their 40s that I think outshine him that I'd rather watch. But as far as truly becoming who he was playing in a film, he was amazing.
I have two Philip Seymour Hoffman movies to recommend. And I recommend them because people may not have seen a lot of them. You probably have seen his bigger roles. You know, he won the Academy Award for Capote, and he's been in a whole bunch of really impressive movies through the years. But I have two that probably would be on my movies you might not know list. One of them is called Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. It was directed by Sidney Lumet, I think about 7 years ago. Philip Seymour Hoffman and Ethan Hawke play brothers who are both kind of desperate for money, and so they decide to rip off a jewelry store that belongs to their father. And things, of course, go wrong along the way. I am not going to spoil any part of the movie for you, but it is gritty, and the characters are so realistic and so beautifully acted and directed that it is one great story. Plus, the very yummy Marissa Tomei has a big has a big part in the movie as well. And I strongly recommend Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. If you haven't seen it, put it on your Netflix queue. And then the other one, which is even lesser known, was a movie called Owning Mahoney, which I didn't see when it was first out in the movie theaters. I discovered it myself on DVD, although it did have a run in Plaza Frontenac or Tivoli kind of movie theaters when it first came out. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays a guy who's a manager of a bank in, I can't remember if it's Montreal or Toronto, somewhere in Canada, who has access to lines of credit for his clients. He's the guy who has to approve them, and business people come to him, you know, we want to borrow money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is that Mahoney, the Philip Seymour Hoffman character, also has a gambling problem. And he uses some of the money from one of these lines of credit to fly to Atlantic City, and he plays blackjack and he plays craps, and he doesn't win a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's losing money that isn't his, and it belongs to the bank. His girlfriend in the movie is played by Minnie Driver, but the bigger, better role is played by John Hurt as the manager of the casino in Atlantic City, who sees this guy come in who they've never seen before, and all of a sudden he's betting, you know, $5,000 per blackjack hand, etc. And when they go over to him, you know, they want to keep this guy as a customer. Sir, what can we get you? And all he wants is, could I have a Coke and some ribs? Anything else? We'll give you a suite. We'll give you any food you want. We'll get women for you if you want. No, I would just like to have some Coke and some ribs, and I'd like to just stay here and play. And he would play. And this is based on a true story. It's one of the biggest bank frauds in Canadian history. he would play for 12, 18, 24, 30 hours straight, never use the free room that they gave him, then get back on his plane and go back and kind of live this semi-normal life as a bank manager until next weekend came around, and he would do it again. And it's a great study of a guy who is just a compulsive gambler with access to money. It's the worst possible combination. And Philip Seymour Hoffman plays it rather intensely but quietly. And it's a brilliant role. So there's another one to put on your Netflix queue. So Before the Devil Knows You're Dead and Owning Mahoney is the other one.
Awesome. Thanks for the tips, man. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I will say that, and very briefly I'll say, that for me, two roles that he did that I found just awesome was one, he was in Punch Drunk Love with Adam Sandler as the guy who was running a phone sex line that was basically scamming Adam Sandler's character. There's a confrontation in that scene where Philip Seymour Hoffman will scare you, frighten you, and it'll just blow your mind just how evil he can come across. And even though, Paul, I believe you hate this film, I would recommend, just for the heck of it, if anyone hasn't seen this movie and they want to try and experience Philip Seymour Hoffman, I'm still a sucker for the movie Pirate Radio.
Terrible movie. Don't rent that movie under any circumstances. If it's on cable, go out that night. That's how bad Pirate Radio is.
Well, hey, I don't know what we're doing on time. You want to just do the game?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention one other thing. Philip Seymour Hoffman already finished a couple of movies before his death that are going to be coming out this year, including one I'm looking forward to called God's Pocket. One, because it was directed by John Slattery, who plays Roger Sterling on Mad Men, and it co-stars Christina Hendricks, who's Joni on Mad Men. So it's called God's Pocket. I don't know. Do you know when it's coming out this year, Joe?
No, I don't. I've read a couple of stories about his last works, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to market him. So I think a lot of them are going to get pushed back just a bit until we're not inundated with the police stories about who they busted for the heroin. So I would see these closer to the summer, and I wouldn't see a major. I mean, the only thing that's going to be major is going to be the Hunger Games movie, because he completed the majority of his filming. They're not going to cut him out. They're just going to write around the areas where he isn't featured.
Interesting. All right, what's in the clubs?
All right, here we go. We have got just a few. The Black Moods tonight at Plush, Creepshow at the Old Rock House, the Ragbirds at the Gramophone, Kryptonics over the Crack Fox, Nuclear Winter Metal Fest at the Mad Magician, Uncle Elvis at Focal Point, Molotov Latte at No Coast. Tomorrow, DJ Hoppa is over at Pops, the Conformists are at Foo Bar, Jeremiah Johnson on stage at Cicero's, Breed Love over at the Mad Magician, and Acoustics Anonymous at the Old Rock House. And last but not least, I'm going to throw you five concerts, four absolutely real, one completely fake. Here we go. Are we ready?
Yeah.
These all take place tonight. The Flea Bitten Dogs at the Focal Point. 8-Inch Love at Cicero's. Aristocrat Laundromat at the Heavy Anchor. Scalp Squad at the Crack Fox. Better Off Damned at the Livery Company.
Dan, what do you go with?
Oh, man. What was the first one?
First one was the Flea Bitten Dogs.
I'll do that one.
Ian?
Aristocrat Democrat.
It was actually Aristocrat Laundromat.
Oh, Laundromat, yeah.
I will tell you, I wrote down two. One of them was Flea Bitten Dogs, and the other one was Aristocrat Laundromat.
That were my two picks, too.
So what was it?
Well, none of you are right. I am, of course, the winner once again. 8-Inch Love.
Okay. Wow. All right.
That is your fake band name.
How is that not a real band name?
Yeah.
How is that not a real band name already?
I know, it should be.
Well, hey, you know what? I'm not meaning to brag. I might actually form that band. Well, that's going to do it for me. I will talk to you guys next week. I'm Joe Hipperson, Big 550, KTRS, here on Entertainment.
You better find three other guys to be in the band with you.
Yeah.
Joe's brought to you every week by Oryx, 7 locally owned and operated stores in the St. Louis area and online at oreck.com.
Meet.
All right, let's check the highways now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Really not as bad as what a Friday is at this time, but we do have an accident on eastbound 5570 at 3rd Street. No police were with it at last check, but you do have a little bit of a slowdown now just east of the Poplar Street Bridge. Also, emergency vehicles blocking the right lane on northbound 270 at Page. Other than that, we have pretty light volume that's heading south on 270 between Manchester and Doherty Ferry. Westbound 40 Kings Highway through McCausland. You're a bit heavy from between Boone's Crossing and Long Road to the Boone Bridge. Eastbound 70 downtown, you're slowing from St. Louis Avenue to the Edward Jones Dome. And this traffic report brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Cold weather will only affect your car if you're not ready. Firestone Complete Auto Care. Maintenance, repairs, tires, whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Next time on the Carney Show.
Hey, crew, Carney here. We gear up for another week of shows, and we hit the ground running. Ponch is with us. Eric Estrada from Chips. Anybody? Am I the oldest guy listening to this right now? That's some other great stuff. Kate Meehan joins us, too. Also, the Men's Group Against Cancer. Also, we'll see you at 1.
The Carney Show, weekdays from 1 p.m. till 3 on the Big 550 KTRS, live and local.
France, 1793. While Augustin Dupré was awaiting execution by guillotine, he took from his pocket a prized possession, an angel coin. He rubbed it for good luck and said a prayer. At that very moment, a sudden lightning storm frightened the crowd and the execution was postponed. Dupré was later pardoned and attributed his miraculous survival to the angel coin. For centuries, angel coins have been the center of countless good luck stories. And now good luck is yours. In a world first, Govmint.com is releasing magnificent 1 ounce pure silver angel coins at an historic low and surprisingly affordable price. These dazzling silver angel coins are only available on a first-come, first-served basis, so call immediately. 1-800-600-0438. These 2014 angels are legal tender and 1 ounce of pure silver. Minted in London, England, they magnificently depict St. Michael slaying a fire-breathing dragon with Queen Elizabeth on the reverse. Lock in your historic low price. 1-800-600-0438. 1-800-600-0438.
Cigarettes are smart. They're packed with over 2,000 poisons chemically engineered to keep you addicted. But now there's a revolutionary product that's smarter. It's called the VaporMate. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give it to you for free. Just call 1-800-400-0092. VaporMate is not a pill. It's not a piece of gum. It tastes like the real thing, smokes like the real thing. And best of all, it satisfies like a relaxing smoke should. Millions in research have gone into making cigarettes one of the most potent addictions known to man. But VaporMate outsmarts real cigarettes, freeing you from harmful effects. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking, and coughing. Just the great flavor and smoking satisfaction of VaporMate anywhere, anytime. Claim your free VaporMate now. That's a $129 value for free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But hurry, this is a limited-time radio-only offer. Call 1-800-400-0092. Get the amazing details at 1-800-400-0092.
Hey, you know why thousands of homeowners have had their homes coated with RhinoShield permanent ceramic coating? To eliminate the hassle and expense of painting year after year after year. With RhinoShield's 25-year warranty, you coat your home once and you're done, guaranteed. And guys, not only can you scratch painting your home every few years off your honey-do list, RhinoShield comes in your favorite color, the color that makes your wife happy. RhinoShield is perfect for wood, brick, stucco, hardy board, steel, and vinyl. And unlike vinyl, RhinoShield resists mold and mildew. So why wait? Call now for your free estimate. 877-25-RHINO. RhinoShield permanent ceramic coating for your home or business. 877-25-RHINO.
Don't paint, don't vinyl. Go RhinoShield. Never paint your house again. RhinoShield.
RhinoShield permanent ceramic coating. It's more affordable than you think. Call 877-25-RHINO or visit 877-25-RHINO.com.
Are broken eyeglasses keeping you from seeing the action? Spectrum Eyeglass Repair has been the leader in eyeglass repair for over a decade. We can fix that expensive pair of sunglasses you thought were doomed to the glove box forever. Spectrum Eyeglass Repair carries the largest selection of pre-made polarized clip-on sunglasses and has the ability to make custom fitted clip-ons for almost any eyeglass frame. We have two area locations, Crestwood and St. Peter's. Check us out in the Yellow Pages under Optical Repair or on the web at SpectrumEyeglassRepair.com.
Spectrum Eyeglass Repair. Do you have opioid-induced constipation? MedX Healthcare Research is conducting a research study for people with constipation caused by a strong pain medication such as an opiate or narcotic. All qualified participants in the study will receive the study medication, plus all study-related care and procedures at no cost. Compensation for participation may be available. If you have constipation caused by pain medication and are interested in learning more about this study, please call 866-713-5355. That number again is 866-713-5355 or visit us online at MedXHelp.net.
Check out our new show, Real Estate Radio, every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m.
That's right, from 9 to 10. Every Sunday morning, we will guide you through the local real estate market.
And we will help you navigate through the complex lending industry.
We'll also showcase new properties that have just hit the local market.
So make sure you join me, Peter Wright.
And me, Tom Beck, for all things real estate in St. Louis, right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
So we'll see you Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Real Estate Radio. Don't forget to check us out online at roosterreview.com.
Hi, this is Mike Kelly. When I'm looking to send flowers to a loved one for a birthday, anniversary, or that special occasion, I call my friends at Walter Knoll Florists. Walter Knoll is family-owned and operated and offers custom designs by expert designers, a huge inventory and selection that only the largest florist can offer, with quality and care that no grocery store florist can meet. They have several locations in the St. Louis metro area to serve you. Order online today at WKF.com. Walter Knoll Florists, your personal florist since 1883.
I've got some love to give.
Ah, love. It makes the world go round.
Looks like someone's in love.
It conquers all and is the driving force behind what makes one person go nuts over another.
Boy, what a kiss that was.
The Big 550 celebrates love and Valentine's Day.
A magically romantic day.
By giving you chances to win daily prizes of a $100 gift card to Candice's Restaurant, a $100 gift certificate from Best Transportation, and a pair of tickets to the new movie, Endless Love. A $300 prize pack to be given away each day.
I'm in love!
To win, register each day on KTRS.com or on Facebook under the Contest and Giveaways tab.
Sounds like love to me.
Love is on the air.
I love you!
From Candice's Restaurant, Best Transportation, Cupid.
That kiss made everything all better.
And the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Still to come, Bill Cleveland. And then later on, the Harris Challenge, Mike Evans, and Knuckleheads in the News. Feels weird living in a post-Jay Leno universe, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although we've lived in a post- and pre-Jay Leno universe a couple of times already. Yes. I watched his last show. Well, let me rephrase that. I recorded and fast-forwarded through his final show last night. It's a little bit weird for me because my friend John Max has been one of Jay's monologue writers since Jay started doing The Tonight Show in May of 1992, almost 22 years ago. And today John's out of work, as are the rest of the people on that show. I had respect for Jay Leno when he was, without a doubt, the best stand-up comedian in America through the 80s. And
edgy, too.
Yeah, very edgy. When he would go on Letterman, which he did something like 40 times, he would kind of push the envelope, but always you could tell that this guy loved what he was doing and was really good at it. I think he loved what he's been doing on The Tonight Show. I never thought he was really good at it. There was always something a little bit missing. And it wasn't just that other people were edgier.
Right.
You know, Letterman has mellowed into almost a stereotype of himself.
I don't think Leno was a great interviewer.
No, that was one of his big faults.
Yeah.
And he never really got that much better.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a big sign of that is when Sandra Bullock on the night before.
Yeah,
the final
2 nights ago.
She said, you were always so nice. Even when I had a bad movie, you never said anything. Well, of course he's not going to say anything negative. That was his, he just never.
That's your job.
He was just there saying, you got the movie coming out, Anthony.
It's on the movie. Yeah,
it's good.
Is there anybody on the planet who can't do a Jay Leno imitation? Just go over to that high register.
Frank can't do it.
Oh. I actually want to play for you the last few things he said. This is not actually the end of the show, because the end of the show was after he said this stuff. he brought Garth Brooks back. Brooks had recorded a song earlier, and he had him come in at the end and do
Friends in Low Places.
Friends in Low Places, yeah. Which, you know, like 9 million times he's done that song. Mm-hmm. And, okay, it was fine. But first, last night, he came out and he did the monologue, and then he brought Billy Crystal out. And Billy Crystal did some memory stuff with, you know, talking about the early parts of his career. And Leno was a big help to Billy Crystal when he was first starting out. And said, you know, when I'd go to Boston to perform there, I'd stay at your place. And Leno was like, well, everybody used to stay at my place. Even people I didn't know, they'd show up at my house and stay over.
Wait, was that Jay talking?
Yeah. But then they went to a commercial break and they came back and Jay said, well, I don't know what's going to happen next. I won't do it anymore. I don't know what's going to happen next. But Billy's got something planned here. And so Billy started to sing the song So Long Farewell from The Sound of Music. With lyrics, yeah, with special lyrics written by Mark Shaiman, who's done a lot of that stuff for him when he mm-hmm. hosted the Academy Awards. And the last time Billy said goodbye to Jay on NBC, they did it to him. So this time they did it. And then he brought out a bunch of celebrities to join in and do a couple of lines of the song as well. First, Jack Black, who I am always entertained by. He's the most energetic human being on the planet. And then Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian.
And then Chris Paul of the L.A. Clippers, and then Jim Parsons from the Big Bang Theory, and then Sheryl Crow, and then Oprah Winfrey. And as it's going along and I'm seeing these people, it's like, okay, you got Billy Crystal, you got Oprah Winfrey. And then it was like, well, who else is in town and would do this?
Yeah.
Why would you ever invite Kim Kardashian
and Chris Paul, a basketball player?
To come see you, be part of your big last show.
What a hodgepodge.
Wow. It was not good. But then, after Billy Crystal left and Garth Brooks did a song, here's what Jay had to say. And for a guy who was, you know, kind of Mr. steely-eyed, unemotional, blue-collar, I work hard, and I write the joke, I tell the joke, I get the check, this was unusual for him.
Boy, this is the hard part. I want to thank you, the audience. You folks have been just incredibly loyal. This is tricky. We wouldn't be on the air without you people. Secondly, this has been the greatest 22 years of my life. The luckiest guy in the world. I got to meet presidents, astronauts, movie stars. It's just been incredible. I got to work with lighting people who made me look better than I really am. I got to work with audio people and made me sound better than I really do. And I got to work with producers and writers. And just all kinds of talented people who make me look a lot smarter than I really am. I'll tell you something. First year of the show, I lost my mom. Second year, I lost my dad. Then my brother died. And after that, I was pretty much out of family. And the folks here became my family. Consequently, when they went through rough times, I tried to be there for them. The last time we left the show, you might remember, we had the 64 children that were born among all our staffers that married. And that was a great moment. And when people say to me, hey, why didn't you go to ABC? Why didn't you go to Fox? Why didn't you go? I didn't know anybody over there. These are the only people I've ever known. I'm also proud to say this is a union show. And I have never worked. I have never worked with a more professional group of people in my life. They get paid good money. And they do a good job. And when the guys and women on this show would show me the new car they bought or the house up the street here in Burbank that one of the guys got, I felt I played a bigger role in their success as they played in mine. And that was just a great feeling. And I'm really excited for Jimmy Fallon. You know, it's fun to kind of be the old guy and sit back here and see where the next generation takes this great institution. And it really is
It's been a great institution for 60 years. I'm so glad I got to be a part of it. But it really is time to go. Hand it off to the next guy. It really is. And in closing, I want to quote Johnny Carson, who was the greatest guy to ever do this job. And he said, I bid you all a heartfelt goodbye.
That was it. He was really, really broken up there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things about that. You know, he said, my mom died, my dad died, my brother died, and then I was out of family. I couldn't help but think of his wife, Mavis, who's been with him for like 30-plus years. Was she standing on the side like going, what am I, chopped liver?
Yeah.
What do you mean you're out of family? But, I kind of know what he means. And the thing about I didn't know anybody over there, he could have taken his people with him.
Right, yeah.
You know, maybe some of them were NBC techs who wouldn't be able to go with him, but he could have taken his writers and his producers and gone anywhere else he wanted to.
And I think all the other stations are union as well, correct?
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Yeah, because he said we've always worked with a union, and it's like, I think I thought that they're all union.
But I will say this about Jay. He really was the good soldier for NBC in all of this, because he has gotten beaten up and crapped on by a lot of people, when in fact all he did was go in there every night and produce the number one late night show in television. I saw the ratings that came in this afternoon for his numbers last night. 14.6 million people. That's the largest audience that show's gotten since 1998 on the night that the Seinfeld finale aired.
Wow.
Now, just to give you an idea, last night his lead-in from the Olympics coverage on NBC was about 20 or 21 million people. On the night of the Seinfeld finale, there were 76 million people. That's why he had bigger ratings. So, in other words, except for that one night, last night was the biggest tune-in that Leno or anybody has gotten on that show since Carson's finale. That tells you that somebody, this guy had people who liked him. It wasn't just curiosity tuning in. And he's been number one for years and years and years and years. And I know something about being in that position of being told, your time here is over. We're going to bring somebody else in to do your show, but you're going to stay on the air for a little while, and you're going to play nice and all that. And that's exactly what he did. And he's still under contract till September. And as he points out, you know, anything that went on between him and Letterman, Americans don't really care about a feud between millionaires. Don't feel sorry for Jay Leno. He has enough money that he could buy NBC and fire them all.
Uh-huh.
But he stayed on the air, and now we'll go back to doing clubs. Well, not clubs. I'm sure he'll play theaters and Vegas and all that, and make millions more. And, the guy put in 22 years, and even David Letterman last night said, Jay, congratulations on a wonderful run. And then he suggested that Jay celebrate by going out and buying a car. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right, speaking of cars, we're going to see how many are on the roads. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, there's a lot of them, and they're bunching up out in Chesterfield Valley. First of all, on westbound 40, you are slowing Kings Highway through McCausland. Just a little bit heavy, 270 through Mason, but at the Spirit Overpass or just before it, you have a crash, and everything is bunching up now midway between Chesterfield Parkway West and Boone's Crossing. It's crawling all the way out to the Spirit Overpass. Northbound 170, we're looking slow now, approaching 270 up to about Airport Road. Eastbound 70, you're jamming up from approaching St. Louis Avenue to the Edward Jones Dome. They're still working with an accident eastbound 5570 at 3rd Street, and that has things bunching up at the Poplar Street Bridge. And eastbound 270, slowing now McDonald through New Florissant. This traffic report is brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. The cold weather can really do a number on your part. Head to Advance Auto Parts, and they'll test your battery for free. Plus, if you need a new one, they'll install it for you also free, only at Advance Auto Parts. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the biggest, coldest world sporting event in 4 years. There'll be medals won, heartbreaking losses, and the biggest question will be answered. Will Vladimir Putin finally put on a shirt? ABC's Jim Ryan brings you the latest updates from the Sochi Olympic Winter Games on McGraw in the Morning. They'll talk about the previous day's events and set up the drama and intrigue for the upcoming events later that day. Jim Ryan live from the Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia on the Big 550 KTRS.
If you like real love songs the way they used to be, this is Tony Viviano, and I would like to invite you to the Four Seasons Winery at the Four Seasons Country Club in Chesterfield for the best Valentine dinner dance in St. Louis. Somewhere
beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me.
It's called In the Arms of Love on Saturday, February 15th. There'll be two seatings, 5 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., up until close. My band starts at 5 p.m.
Oh, the shark, baby, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pretty white.
Enjoy this exquisite dining experience. Plus dancing to the Tony Viviano Band. Oh, that's me, as I'll be singing the classic love songs. For reservations, call 636-956-6266 or visit FourSeasonsWinery.com.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456, or you get their app, STL Taxi. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday.
Hi, Bill.
All right. Well, another big snowstorm hitting the country today. Meteorologists say that some people could see up to 12 inches. However, the meteorologist's girlfriend says it's probably more like 5 inches.
Yeah, right.
700,000 people turned out for the Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl victory parade. It was the second largest gathering in Washington State this year, right behind the 705,000 people who swarmed Moe's marijuana shop on January 1st. And scientists now say they have a new cure for insomnia. Yeah, it's watching anybody else's Facebook look back video.
Why would you want to?
And finally, this afternoon. Well, we've got a glacier in Greenland that's moving at a speed of 150 feet per day. 150 feet per day. And to make matters worse, it's in the far left-hand lane.
Oh, man.
With its blinker on.
Hey, real quick, you were talking about Leno and stuff. The only thing I wanted to add is that I heard Conan O'Brien last night jabbed him on his last night, and I thought that was kind of low class.
I agree.
I didn't really like that.
Nope, I agree with you.
And the Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, and I am Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
The Harris Challenge coming up. It's 5 o'clock at KTRS St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Suddenly and inexplicably, A-Rod drops his